Good morning. This is lovely. I like how this looked like a social hour. So nice to see. It is January 28th. Thank you for joining us in worship this morning, whether you're in person or listening online. Among the announcements, feel free, if you have children, to make use of the nursery for 5-year-old and under in the Sunday school area downstairs. It is parent supervised during the service. After children's story. Note that the St. Catherine's UM 101 course starts Sunday night, 7 p.m., beginning tonight for 4 weeks. Vic Enns has posted an important notice in the bulletin regarding the Mennonite Burial Society levies. Please make note of the important information there. Remember to mark your calendars for next week's annual church meeting and pick up a copy of the annual reports at the back if you don't have one yet. And let's also pray for Kirk as he guides the meeting, Pastor Tim, and the entire church council. Note that Women Walking is canceled for 2 weeks and will resume February 13th at 10:30 a.m. And please stay for the visioning presentation after the service and a short question and answer after. Please join me in prayer. Holy Father, thank you again that we can come together in fellowship to worship you and praise your glorious name. Help us to keep in mind that though we thought we chose to follow your way, you had already chosen us. Thank you, God, for the love, grace, and mercy you give us, and may we always lean on you and not take them for granted. Please help us, Lord, to keep our minds clear of distractions and focused on you, not only for this morning service, but during our visioning presentation as well. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Morning. Please stand to join us with "You Are My All in All." Continue with "I Love to Tell the Story," which is in your hymnal on page 593.
Well, thank you. We will now have our time for sharing joys and concerns. If you have anything you'd like to share, please raise your hand. You'll note that we have this before our children sharing time, and that's because, kids, you are important to us too, and if you have anything you'd like to share or any prayer requests, raise your hand and we'd be happy to have you on the microphone.
Hi, my mom Annie is recovering from surgery, and she would like to thank you for your prayer support and all the acts of kindness that have been given to her.
Thank you. Did everyone hear that name okay? No, can you say the name on...
Annie Burke.
Anyway, thank you. The young man with the long hair.
Yes. And I always wanted to do this. How many people know of Mike? You know any Mikes? Okay. Just a mic test. Anyway, let that sink in for a minute. All right. Basically, I feel very, very blessed. My sister-in-law that lives in Nova Scotia, Debbie, she had half of her lung removed because of cancer, and she's got her chemo, so it looks like everything is good. She's doing quite well. And then my other brother that lives in Calgary, he's due for, a three-part bypass on his heart. And things are looking good there. He's going to be on the table in a couple of weeks, but his spirits are up. And I know God's with them all, and just like to share that. Thank you.
Hey, what's your brother's name?
It is Kevin.
Thank you. All right, well, let's pray together. At the end of me leading the prayer, I'll invite you to pray the Lord's Prayer with me. And as always, you're welcome to do that in whatever version and whatever language best speaks to your heart as we pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are good. Thank you that you are a God who hears. You are a God who listens. You are a God who comes near and knows the needs of our hearts, the needs of our neighborhoods, the needs of our families and community. Lord, we pray that you would continue to have mercy, that you would bring peace to those places where there is only violence, that you would bring hope to the places of hopelessness, that you would bring healing to the places and people of sickness, that you would bring recovery to the places of addiction, that you would bring softened hearts to those places of hardened hearts that, Lord, we know we can have as well. Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray that as your community, as your people, you would continue to pull us towards your cross. Pull us towards your good direction of love and hope. Pull us towards your good direction of sharing your love with our neighbors through our words, through our actions. Lord, we pray in particular, thankful for the Annie Burke recovery from surgery. We pray in particular as well for Debbie, as she's had the surgery already and the chemo that will follow. And Lord, we pray that you would be with Kevin with the surgery coming up in a few weeks. And Lord, we know that you know all these things. We pray that you would be active there, that you would bring healing, And Lord, that you would hear those whispers in our hearts that we were maybe unable to share out loud. And Lord, that you would bring healing there as well. As we bring our tithes and offerings to you each week and through our lives, we pray that you would take what we have to offer, take us, and use it to advance your kingdom in word and deed. And friends, I invite you to pray the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Hello. Kids can come on forward. Children's story. Good morning. Good morning. Nice to see you all. I'm sorry, my microphone was not working, but Evelyn knew what to do, right? That's right. Okay, I brought something with me today. He warned you. That's right. You got the heads up. Okay, what is this thing? That's right. This is a flashlight. Can you see the light? Yeah? So this is my flashlight. I brought this with me to teach us a Bible story today. If I shine this at you guys, does that kind of get in your face a little bit? You don't like that very much, right? Yeah, so this is a flashlight that we can use for lots of different things. What's something that you can use a flashlight for? Stephanie? Yeah, we can use it at nighttime when it's dark. Marcus? Yeah, to see where we're going. Yeah, that's right. Evelyn? To make shadow puppets? Sure. Yeah. Any other ideas? What can we use a flashlight for? What about maybe if you lose something under the couch and you need to see under the couch, you can use it to look under there, right? These are all good things that you can use a flashlight for. But if I shine it in my face, right, that's not going to help me very much, right? I can't see very well now. Just like if I shine it in your face, you can't see very well, right? So that doesn't help. But if we shine it out, then we can use it to look for things, right, and to see where we're going and to look in the dark. All these are good things. If I pointed at myself, it doesn't really serve the purpose, right? This isn't what a flashlight is meant to do, right? Yeah, it blinds me, right? That's not what it's meant for. This reminds me of a man named John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a guy who was born a few months before Jesus, and he had a really special job. His job was to get people ready for Jesus to come. He was a little bit interesting. He wore really itchy clothes made of camel's hair. Not very comfortable. Did any of you guys eat bugs for breakfast this morning? No? That's what John ate. John ate bugs. He ate locusts, which are kind of like grasshoppers, and honey. So he's kind of a weird guy. He was a bit loud, and he was not afraid to tell people when they were doing something wrong. People started thinking, this guy John, he's kind of interesting. Maybe he is our savior, right? Maybe John was tempted to let them believe that. Maybe he would like to be in the spotlight, right? To have everybody think that he's the savior, he's the special one that they should be waiting for, right? But John didn't do that. Even if maybe he was tempting to put himself in the spotlight, John didn't do that. He told everyone that he was preparing them for Jesus, for the actual savior, and that Jesus was so great that John couldn't even untie Jesus' sandals because Jesus was so much greater than him. He put the spotlight on Jesus, right? Instead of on himself, he shone it out at Jesus. That's what we want to do with our lives. We want to make sure that we aren't trying to make ourselves look good, right, to brag about how good we are, but to be kind, to be forgiving, to share with people about how important Jesus is, right? And when we do that, then the glory goes to God instead of to ourselves, right? So let's remember to do that this week, to live joyfully and share the light of Jesus with others, okay? Can we pray about that together? Join me in praying. Dear God, thank you so much that you love us. Help us to be a light to you, to our friends, and to other people that we meet. Help us to be kind and loving to everyone in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay.
Morning. I will be reading from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire."
Well, this morning, we are starting a series called Trust the Process. Trust the Process of Discipleship. So, what is discipleship? If someone asked you to explain that word, where do you even begin? And then maybe, how does one become a disciple of Jesus? How do we start that journey? What does that mean? How do we engage with that as disciples? Because discipleship is the word most often used for the people who are following Jesus. Jesus invites people to follow him into discipleship. It would be kind of like if you were trying to learn a trade. What you would do is you would find someone who was a master of that trade, and you would study under them for a few years. You would do the things they do. You would practice those things, and that would make you that person's disciple. You'd be a disciple of the master so that you can go and make the same craftsmanship that the master was making. But part of discipleship and part of the call of discipleship that we're going to talk about today has to do with change. Discipleship requires you to change your mind in some ways to agree with that master. Change your mind, change your heart. And I want you to think about this. Have you ever had to change your mind about something? Have you ever tried changing someone else's mind? Which do you think is harder? Which do you think other people would say is harder about you? Change is hard, but it is part of the discipleship process. So today, as we look at this great passage going into the wilderness, we're introduced to this new character, John the Baptist. And a little bit of background here. So during the Christmas time, we actually went through the first two chapters of Matthew. That is the first gospel that shows up in the New Testament. And what we're going to do now is continue that story. So the story left off with Jesus having to escape with his family to Egypt, and then they come back after Herod has passed away. They move up into Nazareth, and they kind of have moved back into the area. And right after that, the story picks up in chapter 3. So we'll look at chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And I'll read that together with you, and then we'll go and consider what some of these things mean. So in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who is spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees. And every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." That brings us through Matthew. So let's dig a little deeper into some of the words here, because there are some very important words that are maybe a little difficult for us to understand, and a whole bunch going on in this short passage. So first, we are introduced to John the Baptist. As we read from the Gospel of Luke, we find out that John is related to Jesus through his mother and through Mary. That's why John is still alive. If he was related to Jesus through Joseph, he would have perished in Bethlehem. So John is being raised up. He has a very weird sense of style. Have you ever heard of a hair shirt before? Hair shirt is something people used to wear. It's made out of hair, and it would be very uncomfortable, and it would help you to be maybe reminded all the time of some commitment you've made. That's kind of what a camel hair shirt that he's wearing will do. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be itchy. It's a way of being continually reminded that he's set aside for something different. And he has a really weird diet. Sometimes I see these books go out about a biblical diet, and I have not once seen anyone suggest we should only eat locusts and honey. So maybe you can go and write that book for someone someday. That's not what I would go for. Maybe that's his version of Honey Nut Cheerios. I'm not sure. But he goes and he starts this message, this preaching time out in the wilderness. This is away from the city. So if you were going to church plant today, that means you're going to try and start a new church somewhere. What you do is you go to where there are people. You go to where there's a neighborhood. You connect with the people there. John does the exact opposite. He goes way away from the people. How do they even hear about him in the first place? It's almost like John is saying, if you are in the city of Jerusalem, if you are in the city that has the temple, if you're in the city where everyone is supposed to be this follower of Yahweh, this follower of God, well, then it becomes impossible to actually follow God. We have to separate ourselves from this thing that is murky and come out here, and in the wilderness, I will point to the real way of following God. And people come from all over. And he preaches this message of repentance. Again, repent isn't a word we often hear, or maybe it's a word that's only used in church circles, but it was a common word at the time. So in the language that Matthew has written in Greek, repentance has a root meaning of change your mind. It's those words pushed together. Change your mind. Have a new mind. Have a new heart. Change your direction of who you are. But repent is a word that shows up in the Old Testament with frequency as well. And what's interesting is that they're the same word, but in the Hebrew, the root for it comes out to mean come back. Not just change your mind. Come back. Repentance as this way of coming back to the God who loves us and coming back to God's way. This turning around, change your mind, change your heart, come back to God who calls us the right way. And it's this repentance that's being preached because the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. This is the first time we see those words in the Bible, the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is this great hope that the Jewish people had at that time, that God's ways, the ways of heaven, this kingdom of God, would come down and have all of its values, all of its hope, take root here on earth. It's this way of saying that God is entering into the story and bringing about his kingship and rulership over things. It's right from what we prayed earlier, what Jesus will teach people to pray just in a couple of chapters. The kingdom of God is your kingdom come, your will be done here. Here in this place. Through our lives, by our prayers, we're going to live out like you are king now. Bringing about your justice, your hope. And then there's this interesting thing that happens. As people are coming to him, they confess their sins. They confess the things that they were doing wrong. Now, confession is something that pretty much every church except Catholics avoid. Why is that? Maybe because we don't want to look like the Catholic Church, but we don't like confessing because confessing means admitting wrong. Not just that, but saying what we did wrong to someone else. But we see this act of confession as a way of people identifying the wrong directions they were going so that they will no longer do that and turn around and go this other way. And then we have baptism. John is baptizing people. When we baptize people, we baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's not what's going on here. Jesus hasn't even come to John yet. Jesus hasn't been baptized yet. John doesn't know that Jesus is going to be fully human, fully God, coming to him. So what's happening is this age-old practice of washing away. In some ways, it's this way of, we are repenting, I'm admitting all the things I've done wrong, and now I will be baptized as if I am dying to my old self, or I'm washing away my old self and I'm coming up new. It's a baptism of repentance. All those things, everything before is washed away and I can start fresh in this new hope. Now, John's message is so popular that the religious leaders start to come out. And we have to be really careful here because there's a whole variety of religious leaders. Here it says the Pharisees and the Sadducees come out. What's confusing for us maybe is sometimes we hear the word Pharisee used in a negative way, a way to attack someone for not standing up for their values. But the reality is, historically, Pharisees were the best. They were the pastors of the day. They were the people that you'd want to have as your neighbor. They were the ones trying to live out their faith. And as we'll see very soon, many Pharisees will become the followers of Jesus. But there seems to be something about being a Pharisee, being part of the religious establishment, that really ruffles John the wrong way. Somehow in trying to follow all of those little ways of God, those groups start to make these additional rules. And rules can be good. We want rules to keep us from slipping up, but it becomes so rule-focused that John no longer feels like these people are really following God. They're following the letter of the law, not the giver of the law. And then we have this group, the Sadducees. The Sadducees are the religious elite. That means they were born into their positions. They often, will work with the local governments. And what's interesting, as these groups are coming out, you should know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees really don't like each other. If they're coming to go in there, if they're in line to be baptized by John, they are not standing beside each other. They are probably wondering, who's that person? And as John calls them snakes, they're probably looking at, that's what the Pharisees would think of the Sadducees. That's what the Sadducees would think of the Pharisees. But this interesting term, snakes, it's as if there's this fire that's starting and you're slithering out. You're noticing the heat. You're feeling the heat. And let's not miss that connection to the Garden of Eden here. John is using some really harsh language. His message has become so popular that all of the religious leaders are starting to come out to him, and he welcomes them by, "You dirty snakes." Why did it have to be snakes? And he says to them, "I don't want to see you just coming here, saying the right things, and getting this baptism." Because that's kind of what he's implying. You're coming here because it is a popular thing to do. You think you can go and get this baptism on top of all those other things you have just in case. No, show me repentance in your actions. Show me a life that implies you've turned away from those wrong things and you're doing the good things. If we're using the Old Testament, which they would be then, that would mean doing justly, loving mercy, walking humbly with your God. Or what we'll later see described as the fruit of the Spirit, that fruit of that good life of following God's ways. And John has a little bit of old school Baptist fire and brimstone in him, doesn't he? Produce good fruit, but also the axe is right at the root of your trees. You are about to be cut down, and everything that's not producing the good stuff, we're going to burn away and start afresh. This hellfire and brimstone. You might think you're just getting this extra thing, but I'm telling you it's good you're hearing me now, because now you Pharisees and Sadducees can actually maybe really repent. Show the good stuff, not just by your words, but in your lives. Show what's in your heart by your actions, to avoid being burned away, no longer being a part of this. This powerful preacher, we also see some things that trouble not just the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We see things that can trouble us, because if we're honest deep down, we can be like those Pharisees and Sadducees. Just like them, we experience change as incredibly difficult. Change is hard to do. We don't like change. We like things to stay the same. If anything, let's get a little sprinkling of water, dunking of water on top of who we already are and not change anything. Because turning around, repentance, is hard. We don't like to hear that we're going the wrong way. My phone will sometimes take me directions and then suddenly tell me I'm going the wrong way, and I always think it's the phone's fault. I'm the one driving the car, but it's the phone taking me the wrong place. We don't like to hear that. Turning around and going a different direction is hard. Because, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, we can be comfortable. Staying as we are, as who we are, we like that. That's why we've made the choices to get here, right? That's why we've made the choices to be who we are. And we start to think that if we change, are we going to lose some of those things that we love? Well, gee, John, you're using this harsh language on me. But what do I get to keep? What are we going to lose in this? How do we approach this type of repentance and change? But there is great hope in John's message. Because John's message is a message of good news. This is the first beginning point of a gospel conversation. The idea that we could repent and turn around implies that there is a right way and we can turn around. Even those Sadducees and Pharisees, you guys might be snakes, but produce the good fruit. Show me, and I'll baptize you too. That there is an ability for us to change when the Holy Spirit is involved. This changing our minds, this returning to God. And there's some hope as these people go and they not just repent, they confess what they've done wrong. They're saying, here are all the things that I've done wrong. I'm going to be baptized so I can start anew. Implies that anything that's happened in our past does not disqualify us from following God's ways. No matter what you have done, been done to you, all those things, those decisions in the past, those do not disqualify you from being able to turn around and enjoy the fullness of this kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, or this kingdom of heaven coming into reality, is exciting news for people. Because it means that this recognition that we have felt the separation from God for so long. We have tried to reconnect those things over the years. We tried rebuilding our city, rebuilding our walls, rebuilding our temple. None of that seemed to work. We need God to come close to us. And that is what's happening. That is what John is proclaiming. The kingdom of God is near. The new hope is happening all around us. And you can turn around and be a part of it. That is where we start to see John inviting people into discipleship. That you can turn around, you can start to do the things. You can start down this path that's out in the wilderness, away from the hustle and bustle, the busyness and the newness and life of the city, that we find this new life out in the wilderness, this quietness drawing us to come home, turn around, come back. Notice the things you've done wrong. Let's wash those away and start fresh. So what does this mean for us today? Well, as we talked about, how does one become a disciple? Sometimes we use this as how does someone start to follow Jesus? And maybe if you're anything like me, that was explained to me as you say a sinner's prayer. Jesus, help me, I'm a sinner, help me follow you. Something along those lines. But what we see here from John is that discipleship starts when we repent, when we turn around, change our minds, when we return to the God who loves us and made us, because the kingdom of heaven has come near. So then what is discipleship? What does it mean for us to be followers of Jesus and disciples of Jesus? Well, John says discipleship will look like actions. It'll look like producing fruit, keeping with our repentance. Producing good things in our lives, in our relationships, in our world. Discipleship is a journey. It's not just a one-time decision. It's a decision that turns us around and continues us on that journey. And we are going to trip up. We are going to have trouble from time to time. But we will keep getting up and keep trying because of the one who calls us home. The one who goes alongside us. Maybe even we can look at Christian discipleship as these three words. As knowing, being, and doing. Because sometimes we just get stuck on knowing. It is about knowing the right things. You've got to read those Gospels to know what Jesus is like. You've got to spend time in prayer to know what God is like. Knowing who God is helps us know who we are in relationship. But it doesn't stop there. Then there's some act of being. Of just being ourselves. Who we were, who we are becoming. And as that being moves us then into doing. Doing those right things. Producing that good fruit. To know, to be, to do. To change our minds. Not because someone at the front of a church told you to change your mind or told you how to do that. I hope you don't ever hear that from me. But because the Spirit has moved in your heart and has stirred inside you that fire that draws you to change. That we do not change on our own. We only change because that is what Jesus calls us to do. So that we can become more like his love. So that we can go and start to produce love out of our lives. I love this image. So that we can start to grow fruit of love. Grow love in such a way that it lifts others up. Discipleship takes time. Growing takes time. If you've ever planted something and you've come back to it the next day, you will not be surprised that nothing has grown yet. Things have to happen underneath. It takes time to grow. But discipleship is this implication that we have our roots in the one who calls us home. We have our roots in Jesus, and it is Jesus who will help us to grow and produce that good fruit. Jesus is the one who shows us what good fruit looks like. What fruit keeping in repentance looks like. Look to Jesus' life. How does Jesus love? How does Jesus lift up others? How does Jesus see others and love them? That the King of Kings would come back and clean feet. That the King of Kings would come back and be humble and loving. That the King of Kings would come here to be alongside us and take the time to see each person he meets as someone to be loved. Jesus' call to discipleship is a simple one. It's the same way he calls his disciples. Follow me. This is the way to go. Where is Jesus going? Let's try that. How is Jesus loving? Let's try that. That is our call to discipleship. So friends, I invite you to trust the Holy Spirit. To trust the one who calls you not to repentance as if you're doing something wrong, but repentance to turn around and come home to the good love of the one who created you. To trust that Jesus' way is the right way, even as we start out in the wilderness and follow him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God who longs to have us in your arms. Lord, help us to hear your whispers, your voice calling us home. Help us to see those opportunities for us to be your hands and feet. May the fruit of our lives, the fruit of this community, show the love of Jesus to our neighbors. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Tim. We're so lucky that we have a God who will let us repent and forgive us each time, every day. So that's very nice. Please stand to join us. This is a very lively song. We've sang it a few times as our choir at our church picnic most of the time. So we hope you remember the tune a little bit. And I warn you, you may have to move a little bit because it is a very lively song.
Friends, receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord refresh your faith and your soul. May God show you his love so much that it spills out of you. Go in God's peace. Amen.